I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Anne Hosfeld. She's director of the New Concept Gallery here in Santa Fe on Canyon Road. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
And joining us by phone is Jennifer Gray. She's an art historian. She's an adjunct professor at Columbia University. She's a lecturer at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. And she will be here at the New Concept Gallery on Saturday, the 21st of March at 3 o'clock, speaking about the work of Bill Heckel, whose show just opened at the gallery. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you.
So, Anne, tell us what's going on at the New Concept Gallery and tell us about this new show.
Well, this is a show of work by Bill Heckel, one of three photographers I have with very distinctive work. And it's a part of Art Matters, put together by the Gallery Association. The subject of the talk is sustenance. And when I met Jennifer in New York in January in a snowstorm at the museum, I was very impressed with her lecture and asked her to come talk on sustenance and Bill's work. So she agreed, and I'm very excited to have her.
I love how people get together. You were literally holed up in the Museum of Modern Art because of the snow.
Yes, it was supposed to be the blizzard of 2015, so I thought I'd just spend the day in the Museum of Modern Art. Turned out not to be too bad, but it was a good snowstorm.
Jennifer, so you have recently, through Anne, encountered the work of Bill Heckel. What are your impressions, and particularly with respect to this theme of sustenance, which we're talking about here in Santa Fe?
Well, I'm new to Bill's work in particular, but I'm old to art history, and the thing that sort of struck me the most is how relevant it is for the theme of sustenance. Much of his photography centers around the female form in a landscape, and as a cultural construct, you know, women and bodies, you know, in general, but women's bodies in particular, have long been associated with life-sustaining properties, nature, fecundity, these types of issues. So there's a lot of sort of, you know, cultural and conceptual and art historical sort of depth here that we can relate to the theme for Art Matters.
And it's interesting because these works are basically nudes in a landscape, is that right?
Yes, incredible landscapes that he finds. He's broken a few arms, I think, climbing up there, and has marvelous nude models. But they're really quite sensational, and I've shown his work in my gallery for quite some time. He also does bronze sculpture of figures.
It's funny when you think about the nude in art history, it's perhaps the most common figure is the female nude. And I wonder sometimes, I try to put myself in the shoes of an artist working with the same material that's been done in so many ways. And what do people bring to it year after year, century after century?
True. I think Bill's work is very unusual in that sense because it's not just the nude. It's in relation to the landscapes.
And I would actually like to add, too, that the landscapes that he chooses are these, like, very dramatic sort of desert type of landscapes. And so there's an interesting kind of play there between the female form as a sort of universal trope and also associated with life-sustaining kind of fecundity, this type of nature. But this nature, the Southwest desert, is actually very dramatic and kind of harsh. And so that kind of calls those associations into questions. And it's also very regional, very local to kind of the Santa Fe area. So even if the female nude is this universal kind of trope, the way he's using it is a very local and particular and kind of regional way, which I think is very, you know, very interesting and different.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of fecundity, you do not think of the landscape around Santa Fe, to say the least.
Right.
And also, when you think about the landscape around here, it's not even a place you want to go barefoot.
Mm-hmm. That is quite amazing because these nudes are up on rocks, and I'm not sure how some of them get up there.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, tell us more about your work at the Museum of Modern Art.
So at MoMA, I'm engaged in several different kinds of like public and academic programs. So I teach courses there that are more sort of like university type classes for adult audiences. And then during the daytime when the museum is opened, I spend the bulk of my time with our public programming, which is how I met Anne. And these are just public, you know, lectures and discussions and talks. We vary the format as much as we can. Sometimes we invite artists. Sometimes we, you know, bring in other practitioners. And essentially it's a chance to really engage a different kind of audience, because the people coming to MoMA could, you know, they're everyday members of the public, they're regular museum goers, some of them are artists, some of them are art workers, so you really get this kind of gamut of different points of view, which I actually think is the most exciting aspect of it, the diversity of the audiences and the kinds of ideas that they bring into play in the conversations that we have.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I mean, art museums have a reputation for being kind of like, I don't know what you would call it, like cathedrals of art with their high priests and priestesses and that kind of thing.
Yeah, a little elitist.
And when you're talking to basically the person off the street, which of course in New York can be pretty darn sophisticated, but still you really have to speak a kind of regular everyday language as opposed to speaking a kind of art speak.
Right, right. And I think the thing to keep in mind is that, you know, everybody brings something to these works. I mean, everybody has their own experiences, their own ideas, and it's more a matter of just sort of facilitating them to engage the artworks and to bring out what they already know and are already thinking. So the idea that the museum is sort of this, you know, elite repository for, you know, art and intellectual pursuits and this kind of thing is not really the case. I mean, it's a public museum and it's, you know, education there is one of its biggest missions. Right alongside exhibitions. So it's really about just engaging everyday people and kind of awakening them, you know, to sort of dialogue with these ideas. We spend a lot of time in the actual galleries. I think that looking at the works in person is actually very important, especially in our digital kind of online age. You know, seeing them live and actually having people standing around you and engaging in a conversation could be a very powerful thing, I think, especially today.
Do you find that you learn and gather new insights or things that you hadn't thought of from people in the public?
Oh, yes, all the time. And when I'm doing, you know, sometimes with the same talks, you know, multiple times, I'll bring back in the things I've learned from other people. I mean, that's absolutely the case. Sometimes I miss the most obvious thing because I'm not looking for it. So it's always a mutual kind of synergistic relationship. It's not the case of some sort of one person has all the answers. You know, art's very open-ended in that way. And, you know, many critics would argue there's as many interpretations of art as our viewers. And so it's not the case that there's one answer. So I'm constantly learning from people at the museum.
Now, you're also involved with, if I remember correctly, a public art program in Chicago. Is that correct?
Yes, I've been collaborating with an artist there named Jim Degnan. It was a series of sort of urban-based, I guess, kind of projects. We did one based on playgrounds. We were just starting one on schools. And this is a type of art practice that's often called social practice because we use art to actually try to, you know, advance political change or social change. So he works in sort of underserved communities on the south side of Chicago. And so we're trying to, like, improve the school situation there through these art projects. I'm very actually interested and invested in this type of social practice. You know, ultimately, maybe an idealist, but I like to think that art can actually help change society for the better. And that's one of the reasons why people engage with it, because it enriches us, we learn from it. You know, it's such a powerful force. So I've been very lucky to have met him and be doing these joint collaborative projects.
What are you actually doing there? Like, what's the nature of these projects?
Well, we just finished one. We just finished a project on playgrounds, and it was part of a larger exhibition called Proximity of Consciousness. And Jim is mainly a sculptor. He does a bunch of other stuff, too. He does a lot of sculpture. And we wanted to think about playgrounds as sites of, like, community and engagement and, you know, sharing with others. His part of the project was to build this large sculptural seesaw, and we chose the seesaw because it's one of the playground equipment that require two people, so it requires cooperation. You can't play it alone or be isolated. And he interviewed all of these elders from the community to get their ideas about growing up and childhood and play and these sort of things that he recorded into an audio, like an oral history. My part of it was to write an essay. We issued this manifesto basically called a plea for playgrounds that basically we circulated among the public in Chicago at this exhibit, and we did an online version as well to encourage people to put their photos and whatever else. As a way to sort of galvanize consciousness about the state of playgrounds today and how important they are for not only children, but just for communities in general. And increasingly they're threatened, you know, to be shut down or they're not maintained or whatever else. It was sort of a political project that also incorporated these sculptural elements. And our next one is actually based on schools, where we've sent out this kind of call for projects to residents of Chicago and through schools and different things like this, asking anyone who's interested to basically submit ideas for how to repurpose abandoned school buildings. There's many of them in Chicago, and they're often getting torn down, but, you know, we can think of new community uses for these spaces. So people are submitting drawings or collages. Some of them are architectural, some are photography, some are essays. So the medium is very open, but we're going to bind them together. I'm going to write an essay, again, kind of bring in the historical aspect here, and we're going to submit it to city officials to try and get them thinking differently about how these spaces can be used rather than just demolishing them.
Very interesting. It's funny when you say that. My first thought is renovate them and put students in them and take them out of those schools that are like minimum security prisons.
Right, right. Or the ones that are overcrowded, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's such a there's such a resource in the community. And from a historical perspective, you know, public schools were really, you know, in the early and for much of the 20th century, you know, advanced as the penultimate community and public space because all of us pay for them. You know, that's why you vote at the school, for example. They're indelibly connected to democratic kind of social relations. So, you know, we're trying to kind of revive that optimism and faith in these institutions that are actually community public institutions that we, you know, have a lot of power to shape. And I think people have forgotten that a little bit. So that's part of the larger kind of project.
Very interesting. Yeah. And, you know, when we look at the news about race that's been happening in America lately and the huge, huge gaps between white schools and black schools, essentially, in America,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the central, or should be, I think, the central conversation about equality in this country.
Yes, no, you're completely right. In all of these, whether it's a playground, a school, or another type of public space is so key to overcoming some of those uneven and unequal sort of arrangements. You know, without social contact with people like your, you know, not like yourself with difference, how can we uphold the social contract, right, towards like equality and whatever else? So the kind of, you know, giving off of wealthy areas from the poor areas is very damaging, I think, in a very broad way. So these public spaces are key to trying to undo some of that.
So Jennifer Gray is an art historian, and she will be at the New Concept Gallery on Saturday, the 21st of March at 3 o'clock, speaking about the work of Bill Heckel, whose show just opened at the gallery, and Anne Hosfeld is director of the gallery. Tell us the address before we go.
The gallery is at 610 Canyon Road, and all of the other artists in the gallery will have work up as well, and I don't know if she will talk about that as well, but it should be a very interesting talk, and people are welcome to stay afterwards and discuss various subjects with her.
So there'll be Q&A and room for discussion in a very lovely and intimate space in one of those beautiful old adobe buildings on Canyon Road.
Thank you, yes.
So Anne Hosfeld and Jennifer Gray, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. And once again, New Concept Gallery is 610 Canyon Road, and they're on the web at newconceptgallery.com. Thanks for being with us, ladies.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.